Let us now turn to Holy Scripture and read together Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is the camp of God." So he called that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He instructed them, "This is what you are to say to my master Esau. Your servant Jacob says, 'I have been staying with Laban, and have remained there till now. I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, menservants and maidservants. Now I am sending this message to my Lord that I may find favor in your eyes.' When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, 'We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him.' In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and flocks and herds and camels as well. He thought, 'If Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape.' Then Jacob prayed, 'O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, "Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, "I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted." He spent the night there. And from what he had with him, he selected a gift for his brother Esau: 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows and 10 bulls, and 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. He put them in the care of his servants, each herd by itself, and said to his servants, "Go ahead of me and keep some space between the herds." He instructed the one in the lead, "When my brother Esau meets you and asks, 'To whom do you belong, and where are you going, and who owns all these animals in front of you?' then you are to say, 'They belong to your servant Jacob. They are a gift sent to my lord Esau, and he is coming behind us.'" He also instructed the second, third, and all the others who followed the herds, "You are to say the same thing to Esau when you meet him, and be sure to say, 'Your servant Jacob is coming behind us.' For he thought, 'I will pacify him with these gifts I am sending on ahead. Later, when I see him, perhaps he will receive me.' So Jacob's gifts went on ahead of him, but he himself spent the night in the camp. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions." And now begins our text. "So Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. And the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So far the text. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we go on the journey of life, we can experience events that are real turning points for us. These events may be very positive experiences, like having a very good teacher who has opened up a whole new world for you, or it can be in finding a marriage partner or receiving children. These events can also be very difficult experiences, such as losing a loved one or having to face some other very tragic event. It can cause us to think differently and to look at life with a whole new perspective and with deepened insight. Jacob had an experience like this at the ford of the Jabbok. When we first read what happens in our text, then there are more questions than answers about what is actually going on and what it is all supposed to mean. Who is the man exactly who is wrestling with Jacob? Why is he wrestling with him? What does it mean that he is God? How is it possible for Jacob to overcome and be victorious? What is the significance of the new name? Why was Jacob injured so that he had to be limping? In order to try and understand what is happening here, it is important that we remind ourselves of the context of what Jacob has been going through in the past decades of his life, really right from his birth. The Lord called Jacob's grandfather Abram from Ur of the Chaldeans in order that he might serve him in the land that he would show him. He promised him that he would bless him and make his name great. He would be blessed with numerous descendants, and all the peoples on the earth would be blessed through him. The Lord changed Abram's name to Abraham to underline the certainty of a promise. Abraham could only believe God's word and trust in his promise to him. For a long time, it seemed that this promise would not be fulfilled. But then the child of promise was born. Isaac was born when Abraham and Sarah were old. And Isaac also received promises from God. But it was not easy for him either, because his wife Rebekah was barren. And they were not receiving any children. But God answered Isaac's prayer and blessed them with twin sons, Esau and Jacob. These two brothers struggled with each other right from the beginning. Esau was the firstborn, but already in the womb, his brother Jacob was grasping his heel, trying to control him and get out ahead of him. They jostled each other in the womb and really never stopped doing that during their life. For Jacob greatly desired the birthright. He really wanted his father's blessing. He wanted to inherit the great blessing which the Lord had promised to Isaac. And he was willing to use any means to get to that blessing. It is true that the Lord had told Rebekah when the boys were born that the older would serve the younger. But the younger one was not willing to wait for the Lord, but took matters into his own hands. He bargained for Esau's birthright, and then deceived his father Isaac in order to receive the fatherly blessing from him. Jacob was a tricky, scheming sort of fellow, and his mother also helped him in this. He desired at all costs to get the blessing for himself. His brother Esau greatly resented Jacob taking the blessing from him. And therefore, he held a grudge against Jacob and desired to kill him. Rebekah instructed Jacob to flee to her brother Laban in Haran, well away from Esau's grasp. There Jacob went and spent many years working for Laban and acquiring wives and children. Before Jacob left the land of promise, the Lord appeared to him at Bethel and promised to give him and his descendants the land of Canaan. He promised that he would be with Jacob, that one day he would bring him back to this land. He promised that he would never leave Jacob, but would remain with him and fulfill the promise that he had made to him. Jacob could go to Paddan Aram to his uncle Laban, knowing these sure promises of the Lord. And while Jacob was in Paddan Aram, the Lord blessed him richly with many children and vast flocks and herds. In spite of Jacob's trickery and scheming, also while working for Laban, the Lord accomplished his purpose with Jacob and fulfilled his words to him by blessing him and keeping him safe during the whole time he was in Paddan Aram. Now the time had come for Jacob to return to the land of Canaan, the land of promise. In the previous chapter, in Genesis 31:1, the Lord said to Jacob, "Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." Laban has been trying to trick Jacob and rob him of his wealth. Jacob speaks to his wives about the situation, and they all agree that the time has come for them to leave Laban and escape his scheming. But in doing so, they go from one challenge to another, because in the land of promise, another adversary is waiting for them, Jacob's brother Esau, who was determined to kill his brother. It is clear from verse 7 of chapter 32 that Jacob was very scared of his brother. He is in great fear and distress. He feels that he needs to do something to try and protect his family and his wealth from his brother. And so he separates all the people and his livestock into two groups. He doesn't want to put all his eggs in the same basket. He splits up his assets in the hopes that some will survive and endure. After doing that, he also prays to the Lord and asks him to save him from his brother Esau. Jacob is fully aware of how serious the situation is, and he knows that he ultimately must depend upon God to help him. And after his prayer, he gives further instructions to his men and makes final preparations for meeting Esau. That night he gets up and sends his wives and children north across the Jabbok stream so that there's at least some water between his family and Esau, who is approaching. The situation is very tense. Jacob feels that he's done everything that he could to avert disaster, but he does not know what lies ahead, and he is filled with fear. Then, as Jacob is waiting in the night, suddenly someone emerges from the shadows and begins wrestling with him. Jacob cannot see who it is. He must have been quite perplexed at first, but he hangs on and he keeps on wrestling. Let us consider this wrestling of Jacob and its meaning for us today, and what we learn about our God from this event, also for our own walk with him. I proclaim to you God's word under the following theme: Jacob wrestles with God and overcomes through God's great grace. This struggle leads to, first, confession of sin, second, a new name, and third, God's blessing. Jacob wrestles with God and overcomes through God's great grace. The struggle leads to confession of sin, a new name, and God's blessing. We read in verse 24 that this wrestling match went on till daybreak. It was not a quick affair that ended in a clear result. No, this wrestling was long and intense. It is not clear at what point Jacob realized who he was wrestling with. We do not understand how he realized that he was wrestling and struggling with God himself. But at a certain point, this did become clear to Jacob. He was struggling and wrestling with God who appeared in human form. What a special event in Jacob's life. It was a crucial time because he was about to re-enter the promised land and he needed to face his brother Esau. But before that would happen, the Lord decided that he needed to face his God for first, that he needed to be taught a most important lesson that would change Jacob for the rest of his life. So far we have seen that Jacob was very much a self-made man. He was very quick to take matters into his own hands. He was not the type to sit back and wait for things to happen. Waiting for the Lord in his time was not one of Jacob's strong points. On the contrary, he wanted complete control. And he would use any means to make things happen in his favor. He had already done all that he could to try and control his situation with his brother Esau as well. All the arrangements were set in place. But then something happened which was not at all according to plan. He is attacked by a man in the dark and is in the wrestling match of his life. What a trying time this must have been for Jacob. He wasn't counting on this. He had not made preparations for wrestling with God. And yet he perseveres and is forced to reckon with the reality of his Lord and Maker at this critical time just before entering the promised land. The Lord is testing Jacob here. He is testing his faith at this time, giving him the opportunity to rise to the occasion by putting all of his hope and trust in his faithful covenant God. What kind of wrestling match was this? Clearly, it was not a normal kind of wrestling match. This is God in the form of a man wrestling with Jacob. Some have said that this is the Lord Jesus Christ before he was born of the Virgin Mary. That this is the second person of the Trinity before his incarnation. However, there is no clear evidence for this, and stating this dogmatically could hinder our understanding of what is happening here. If we would insist that Jacob and Jesus were having a wrestling match, we do not read that and are best off being careful with making those kinds of identifications. We do know that it was God in human form before the Son of God assumed our human nature, and that is all we know. The progress of revelation had not yet reached the point of distinguishing clearly between the three persons of the triune God. Jacob would not have known that, and that is not what is important now. Jacob is wrestling with God in human form. In this event, God has accommodated himself to Jacob's level so that he could teach him something and reveal to him more about himself. What is the nature of this struggling and wrestling? In verse 25, we read that the man saw that he could not overpower Jacob. How is that possible? What does that mean? Could God not overpower Jacob very easily? Indeed, he could. But it was not the purpose of God in this situation to overpower Jacob. He wanted Jacob to continue and persevere in this struggle. God wanted to be overcome by Jacob. God delighted in being overcome by Jacob and mentions this fact in the giving of his new name in verse 28. In order to better understand this struggle and its character, it's very helpful to compare Scripture with Scripture. And so let's turn to Hosea chapter 12, where we can read a bit more about what is actually happening in this wrestling match. Hosea chapter 12, and we'll read the verses 3 and 4a. In Hosea 12, verse 2, it is clear that the Lord is also speaking about Jacob. And then we start in verse 3. In the womb he grasped his brother's heel. As a man he struggled with God. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. Now the last part that we read, he wept and begged for his favor, is parallel to the struggle with the angel and overcoming him. The angel here, also seeing the parallel with verse 3b, may be an example of God identifying himself as an angel. God appearing in human form, appearing as angels do in this period of redemptive history. When Jacob struggled with God, then he did this not primarily with his bulging muscles and strong biceps, but with weeping and begging for God's favor. Jacob overcame in this wrestling match through persistent supplication and crying out to God in his need. Jacob was humbling himself before God. And he was realizing anew how dependent he was upon God, how he needed God in his life, also now in entering the promised land with Esau, his brother, an enemy waiting for him. Jacob literally hangs on to God and will not let go, even after the man asks him to let go. Why does Jacob not want to let go? Because he wants to receive the blessing from him. Jacob knows that this man is God, and that he alone can give him his blessing. He humbles himself before God and recognizes that this man with whom he is wrestling is greater than him. For it is only the greater who can bless the lesser, not the other way around. As we also read in Hebrews chapter 7. He knows that he is completely dependent upon God and needs to receive the blessing from him. God draws this dependency out of Jacob by asking him what his name is. Jacob responds by telling him that his name is Jacob. The name Jacob is a name that speaks of his tricky and slippery character. For the name means grasping the heel. Something which Jacob did at his birth, a figure for deceptive, underhanded behavior. His name speaks of his sin. And in this context, with all the other weeping and begging, becomes a confession of sin and unworthiness before God. The Lord wants to draw this confession out of him. He wants Jacob to express it himself by saying his name and everything that his name entails. What is the meaning of this wrestling and its outcome? Jacob overcomes because God allows him to overcome. Jacob does not overcome because he has pinned his opponent down or because his opponent is helpless. The continuation of verse 25 makes very clear that the man was not without resources of strength and ability, for he simply touches the socket of Jacob's hip and wrenches it out of place. And this is an abiding reminder to Jacob that his victory was only achieved by grace alone. The man who dislocated his hip could have done much more serious damage, but he did not want to. He only wanted to show and teach Jacob that he needed to live by grace alone, the grace which God alone can give. Jacob overcame because God allowed him and because he humbled himself before God. Jacob overcame and received the victory because he knew that he had to depend upon God. He knew that he could only become strong by humbling himself and becoming weak. The weakness of Jacob is clearly shown in his limping, received by the touch of the man. He is not the grand hero, but he is the one who persevered and clung to God, and in doing so was preserved and granted victory by God. The Lord our God came to Jacob that night and showed Jacob the need to trust in him alone and to depend upon him in his present circumstances, which were causing Jacob such great fear and distress. Jacob can only go forward knowing that the Lord will be gracious to him and allow him to overcome by grace. It is only when Jacob wrestles with God with tears and in heartfelt prayer that God shows him the way forward. And this way forward will not be without difficulty, for Jacob will be limping along now, but nevertheless sure-footed and strong. And so it is also with us, brothers and sisters. The Lord may now no longer come to us in the form of a man and wrestle with us all night long, but we can each have our own personal wrestling matches with God in various circumstances of life. When real trials overcome us, or when other difficulties overwhelm us. When this happens, where do we go? And to whom do we turn? We can only go to our faithful God and Father. And we need to wrestle with Him in prayer. We need to take hold of Him and never let go. We need to show that we trust in God completely and do not desire to go anywhere else. When we rely upon Him, then He will certainly never turn us away, but He will help us to go on in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. We may not find immediate relief from whatever concerns us, but God will have taught us through our struggle with Him in prayer to rely upon Him alone. For He has promised to preserve us and keep us safe, and He will certainly do that. We are reminded here also of what we read in 2 Corinthians 12:12, where the Apostle Paul prays to the Lord to take the thorn in his flesh away from him. The Lord hears him, but does not give him exactly what he wants. The Lord directs him to his grace, and he says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." In his answer, the Lord turns Paul's attention away from himself and his difficulty to the grace and favor which he has already received from his Savior. That grace is sufficient for Paul in all circumstances, also in very difficult ones. Paul does not need anything else. What he has already received in Jesus Christ, his Lord, is sufficient for him. The Lord said to Paul and to all of us, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." It is only when we realize our own weaknesses and our own failings that we may be truly able to exult in the Lord and in His triumphs in our life. Personal struggles against sin and other difficulties must drive us to Jesus Christ and make us glory in Him and His grace towards us. Jacob's struggle with God not only leads to confession of sin and his own unworthiness,
But it also leads to a new name.
When Jacob confesses his sin and acknowledges his guilt by humbling himself before God and seeking him with tears, then God responds to him by giving him a new name. We read in verse 28, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." The name Israel means struggling with God, or striving with God. The name Israel reminds Jacob and all Israelites into the future that their father Jacob was recognized by God as having wrestled with him and overcome, that he triumphed in the faith. He was not afraid to take hold of God and not let go. He strove with God because he took him seriously and realized that he needed him above all else. He overcame in the fight of the faith and was reminded by God that this triumph came by grace alone, since he left the wrestling match permanently injured, slowly limping away. He was weak in himself, but strong in the Lord. And this is the way he also had to meet Esau, who was awaiting him. But it seems that the most important element of this new name, Israel, is that God ties himself to Jacob by changing his name and causing that new name to contain his own name, El, which means God. Jacob, the trickster and deceiver, has now been changed by God by receiving a new name, a new identity, as someone who has striven with God and has been adopted by God as his very own. It is not that Jacob was not God's child before, but now, just before he enters the promised land, and just after he has wrestled with God in a special way, he receives a new name that ties him even closer to God. Jacob has become Israel. Even though the name Jacob is still used a lot, yet his name has been changed by God, and he has received a new identity, which will remain with him forever. Brothers and sisters, we have also received a new identity, a new name, and the name Christian, first of all. We may be many different things and have our own personal names and identities based upon our family name and our occupation and role in life. But are we not, first of all, Christians, those who are bound to Jesus Christ, who have been bought with his precious blood? We are Christians because Jesus Christ has died for us on the cross, because we believe the gospel message of salvation through him alone. This is something that we have received by grace alone from our loving, compassionate Heavenly Father. It is only through Christ that we may have a living relationship with the only true God. It is only because of Christ's work that we may wrestle with God in prayer and daily depend upon him for everything that we need. It is Jesus Christ who did the ultimate wrestling with God in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed to God, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done." This prayer was accompanied by sweat that was like drops of blood falling to the ground. An angel came to strengthen and encourage him in his time of need. He was deep anguish and suffering. And then on the cross he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He wrestled with God as long as he could until God actually let him go. Not in order to bless him, but in order to complete the curse against him and reject him and throw him away forever into his eternal wrath, into hell itself. When this happened, then it seemed to the world that he had been completely defeated, but it was in death that he triumphed and obtained the victory. For it was through death that he endured God's punishment over the sins of the whole world which were upon him. But he did not remain dead, but he was raised from the dead on the third day and rose triumphant from the grave. The sting of death is sin, and this sin was defeated by Christ completely. He still retains the evidence of his death and suffering and the holes in his hands and the wound in his side. But he is triumphant and has ascended into heaven and sits at God's right hand and is preparing a place for all those who bear his name and live for him here and now in this world. After the struggle with God was over, Jacob also received God's blessing. And so we come to the last point. Jacob's tenacity and wrestling with God and through tears and prayer was richly rewarded by the Lord when he allowed Jacob to overcome. When Jacob heard about his new name, he started to transgress the proper boundaries and got too bold. For he asked the man what his name was. It was not good for Jacob to ask this question because he had already received enough from the man. He should not have pressed further, but recognized that God's grace was sufficient for him, that he had already received much, and that it was not his place to ask him his name. The man makes this clear in his response, "Why do you ask my name?" Jacob needs to back off and rejoice in what he has received. We read in verse 29 as the conclusion to this wrestling match, "Then he blessed him there." Jacob received what he desired, the blessing from the man with whom he was struggling. He has now been blessed by God in an official way. Just before he would enter the promised land and meet his brother Esau, he receives the blessing from God. Jacob was determined to receive it, and therefore God graciously granted it. To him who asks, God will give, and give in abundance. When we seek the Lord, then he will give freely. When we show that we trust in him and want to serve him in our whole life, and he will certainly not ignore that, but will bless us and uphold us and give us everything we need. Brothers and sisters, we may live in the time of the blessings that God has showered upon his people through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. God himself has come down to this earth and become man by being born from the Virgin Mary. God has come to dwell among us in the Emmanuel. He has given us the most wonderful blessings of the forgiveness of sins, of his complete holy word, of peace and security, of life and communion with him unending. He has given us such rich blessings that we may treasure and enjoy as his children. We do not need to try and obtain these blessings through our own devices, through clever scheming and trickery. That will not achieve anything, but we can and we must rely upon the Lord alone completely for everything that we need in both body and soul. God showed his love to Jacob also by sparing him the sight of himself in full daylight. He saw God face to face, but only dimly in darkness. At the crack of dawn, God left him, and so Jacob's life was spared. Because of Christ's work and by God's grace, the day is coming when all believers, also Jacob, and we ourselves may see God face to face, not just dimly or briefly, but forever, when the new heaven and the new earth are ushered in. How we look forward to that great day. May we never cease to pray for the coming of our Savior and continue to expect every blessing in our lives, now from him alone. Amen. Let us now go to our Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you were willing to come down